Let's all stand to our feet. We'll read two portions of scripture. The first one is from Proverbs chapter 4. So if you would turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Starting at verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Okay, and the second passage is in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1. The epistle of 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Let's pray. Father, we ask you that you would bless the preaching of the word. Now, thank you for the portions that we heard and really inspiring us into a living faith. Just bless the remainder of our time. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Okay, another announcement I forgot to say was tomorrow Bible school starts, okay? So, who whistled? Nobody whistled. Okay, and the registration will continue today after the service. So please, if you have not registered and you are praying, know that the fulfillment has come. God is answering your prayers. There's a provision. Come tomorrow by faith. Okay, and register today. And you're doing it before God. Okay, that's what makes it very special. Okay. Turn to John, the Gospel of John chapter 9, please. The Gospel of John, and also another thing, keep those who are sick, who's not keeping well. A lot of people have fallen sick in the body. Pastor Anil is not keeping well. Maybe you can send him an SMS after service, and after you pray for him, send him an SMS saying that I prayed for you. Okay. Otherwise, praying for you is like a very common thing. Yeah. Okay, he's not. He has viral infections and vomiting and headache and all that. Also coupled with jet lag. So keep him in prayer. Also his daughter Lisa, she's also down with a very bad fever. And anyone else you know in the body who is not sick, just be praying for them at this time. Okay. John chapter 9. The Gospel of John chapter 9 speaks about the healing of a blind man who was born blind from his birth. Okay? It says here, and I think it would be preferable if your Bibles are open to John 9, because we'll kind of go through some interesting points here. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, it's amazing. These men, these guys, they wanted to discuss the blind man. But Jesus wanted to deliver the blind man. It's very interesting. Jesus did answer their question in verse 3, saying, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You know, when I lack power with God, when we lack power with God, there can be a lot of discussion and talk on a horizontal plane. It is in that reference the word of God says in the book of Ecclesiastes, let your words on earth be few. God really wants us to have a vertical with him. If I lack a vertical with him, then it is possible I can lean on someone else's vertical. God removes that person from the scene, and how great is the fall, isn't it? So, and disciples had not yet understood this, but they were growing. And thank God, we are also growing. Okay. And here, Jesus did something very unique, which didn't make sense. He spit on the mud. In verse 6, made a clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man. And then said in verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He did it and he was healed. He came back seeing. Sometimes we don't know why. Sometimes the way God says certain things. But there is a lot of safety in doing what he says. If you get too analytical to the point, we want an answer to why. It could be that we could be just missing the boat. It could be that we could be just missing the miracle. What was the turning point in the life of Job? Job had a very analytical mind. Why? So much so, he entertained tribulation without a cause. It's called undeserved misery. And he went nuts. Finally, when God spoke to him and his thinking shifted from why God to who are you God, that was a beautiful deliverance, because God never answered him why he was going through what he was going through. But God asked some 71 to 72 questions, and that changed Job. He said, I put my hand upon my mouth because as a fool I spoke without having understanding. But he was set free because God delivered who he was. God revealed who he was. Simple questions. Job, where were you when I created the earth? Thank you. Got the point. Where were you when I laid the foundations and divided the sea and the land and all that? Isn't it? Okay, now, and this, we see the blind man just did it and there was a miracle, right? Now, from here onwards, we are going to see very interesting scenes till the end of the chapter, because we come across three groups of people who are confronting this man. They should be basically happy that a blind man who was blind from his mother's womb has seen, isn't it? Now, the first group of people are the neighbors. And interestingly, God has put us in this world, so we will have neighbors. Or if you don't want neighbors, neighbors will find us. Okay, or we can say the community. Now, they had a lot of inquiries about the guy. And a lot of opinions were formed. Some said in verse 9, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Don't panic. I am the guy. Now, I like one thing about this man. He did not presume to know that he knew everything. But he did communicate what he knew as a fact. His testimony was very simple and straightforward. And that caused a lot of, disturbance. And sometimes it is that simplicity of faith in 2 Corinthians 11:3 that makes a big difference. You know, it's amazing what Jesus does, you know. Practical salvation, when we witness practical salvation, the tendency that we have is to get into a very philosophical, psychological speculation of things instead of giving God the glory for what he has done. True, inspired, living faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that has a relationship of life, gives glory to God rather than getting speculative in the... Is like him? Did he do some phase modification or something? Maybe it's someone else, you know. It's all these speculations. But when we witness a true, practical, finished work deliverance, that's the opportunity for you and I to really worship God and praise God for what he has done. Isn't it? Now, they question him and he tells them what he did. Now, interestingly, they ask questions. Who? Are you that same guy? How? How did he do it to you? Who did it? Where is he? Good logical order they had, but they were not willing to believe. Then this man is brought before a second group of people, which are very dangerous people. They are the religious leaders of that day, Pharisees. I mean, they were really one of a kind. Because they were very crooked in their thinking. In verse 14 to 16, these guys are accusing Jesus to be a sinner because he did a miracle on the Sabbath day. This incident speaks to us of the organized religion that exists in our day and times, which we must discern, confront, and not be part of it, if your life and my life must have the power of God. How many understood what I just said? If a donkey fell in a hole, and if they lift up the donkey that fell in a hole, they were considered saints. If on account of the mercy of God, the Lord Jesus Christ would choose to heal a man who was born blind, that too on a Sabbath day, he is a sinner. They were very crooked in their thinking. And then they question him. He stands there and said, I can't answer your theological questions. Do you know the word katarkeo? And the man who got healed, hey, relax. I know he healed me. You know, this is what he did to me, and I was blind before, now I see. Then they said, okay, then we come to a third group of people, and this is his family. Bring his dad and mom. So you can imagine they come trembling before him, before these guys. And actually, they were a miserable couple, honestly. And I would, before God, may I make the statement. Some children are to be pitied because, and I say this in principle, it doesn't refer to anyone here or anyone in Bangalore. Okay. But I would say this, some children are to be pitied because their parents are cowards. And this is the reason. They loved acceptance on a human level more than rejoicing in the fact that their son was healed. His mom should have gone frantic with delight, you know how moms are, and cooked a meal for the whole neighborhood and say, come on, welcome everybody. And they are brought and they said, is this your son? And they are like panicking. This is our son, of course, but don't ask any more questions. Direct all your questions to him. He is of age, he'll answer. You know, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, the word of God says, the fear of man is a snare. Isn't it? But in 2 Timothy 1:7, what is it that God has given us? He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The parents of this man, they were afraid of something. And you know what they were afraid of? They were afraid of being put out of synagogue. They were afraid of excommunication. So they became safe players. Put your legs in both the boats and play 50-50. When you come home, you say, isn't God good to the son? And then when you go out, act, be a friend to the Pharisee. This is a third group of people, and this man is right in the middle of these three. You have the neighbors, you have the religious PhDs of the day, and number three, you have your dear ones, loved ones, and you have family relatives. And the man, and very interestingly, all these three groups of people, they never settle the issue of his identity. See, it is very good for you and me when we are so completely transformed or changed by the grace of God, because of which our identity is called into question. I'll repeat that again. It is very good when we are in the process of being changed by the grace of God that our identity gets called into question, because our life doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, the word of God says, what does the word of God say? The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Here it is, you know, you picture you and I, we are like this. The world system condemns us for our problem. We have a problem, and the world looks at us and says, you're blind, good for nothing, go start begging. Maybe you will get something going for you. Because of this problem, thank God for this problem, we are drawn to the Lord. The Lord finds us, He heals us. And as a result of it, we have a testimony. The world hears our testimony and approaches us saying that you live in the denial that you had this problem, so that you're, because behind the scenes they want your testimony to be invalid. And we refuse to give in to the suggestions of the world system, so that now the world system has a free hand trying to condemn you for your faith. How many understood what I just said? You know, here is a man questioned, and he is cast out of the synagogue. Okay, we will read this. This man, I love the guy in the sense that he just spoke what he knew, and he didn't worry about. And then verse 34, very interesting. Imagine, he lost his membership in the synagogue, but he won the Savior to himself. Is that amazing? This is true. That is true Christianity. If our Christianity, as Pastor Handel beautifully shared last Sunday, must have a cutting edge, right? Must have a sharpened cutting edge with it. This must, without equivocation, without an option, without an excuse, must happen to you and me if we have to make an impact for the Lord in this world. They answered and said unto him, who is this? Pharisees. Okay, Pharisees are doing a lot of questioning. They're pulling out this law book from here, this law book from here, and unable to confront the simple wisdom that this blind man who was healed had. And he talks like, why are you guys talking like this? You know, I'm telling you what happened to me, and you want me to change my testimony and deny that I had blindness? No. This is what happened. A person by name Jesus came, he met me, he spat on the mud, made a clay, applied it on my eyes, anointed my eyes, and I can see. What's wrong with that? You guys also want to believe in him? These guys got mad. He said, they answered and said unto him, you were altogether born in sins. What a way to condemn a man who just got healed, huh? Who just got tasted of the word grace of God. And you are teaching, you're trying to teach us, and they cast him out. Kicked the guy out. Now, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And look at this. I love this phrase. And when Jesus had found him, He said unto him, Do you believe on the Son of God? So this man answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now the word to be cast out here basically means to be excommunicated. To be excommunicated. This man was excommunicated from his privileges, and though he was a Jew, from his privileges and rights in the temple and from his entry into the synagogue. His membership was gone. Now, the reason for this was the act of religious leaders, and they did it in anger toward him because the words that this man spoke charged them with blindness. And Jesus further confirmed that and agreed to what this man said. You know, I love when somebody said this, eyeballs are no use if you don't have eyesight, isn't it? Eyeballs are of no use without eyesight. So these Pharisees were people who had eyeballs, but they themselves were blind. So what was the use of what they professed? Isn't it? Now, but the Lord found him. And what happened to this man? He became a worshiper. This was a very significant act on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this led to the following discourse in John chapter 10. On the shepherd and the sheep. This person became part of the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. Okay, that is why it says in John chapter 10, verse 19, and it continues till verse 21, that whole story in John chapter 9. And there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these things. And many of them said, He has a devil and is mad. Why are you hearing him? Referring to Jesus. Others said, These are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind man? You know, it's amazing what we are faced with in this day and age. The organized religious setup of the day, the organized Christendom of the day, always commits the evil of excommunicating those people who, in loyalty to their conscience, run counter to the prejudices of that religion. I'll repeat that again. And they never make a mistake not committing this mistake. Organized religion, the Christendom that is out there, always commits this blunder, this wicked evil of excommunicating those people who have a testimony because they are born again, and in loyalty to what they have received of God, which they know to be true, they stand to have their testimony, and they are immediately excommunicated because their testimony is actually an open insult against the prejudices of the religion of that day that keeps people in darkness. How many understood what I just said? Organized religion this way always excludes the Lord. The reason being, this people exclude God's people. Exclude the people who make a decision for the Lord. It is very interesting. This is the day and age that we are living in. So what is true Christianity? What is true living faith? This man who is cast out from the synagogue and by the religious community, who finds him? The Lord himself found him. Is that amazing? What a great comfort to each one of us who have made a decision. And that's the meaning of the word church, ecclesia, called out once. Who have made a decision to stand true and loyal to what we have heard, to the point that we cannot be partakers with some things, we cannot be partakers of a system, and as a result of that, that system itself excommunicates us. But the beautiful thing is this, the Lord found him. You know, the understanding that we grow of the Lord, the understanding that we grow in of the Lord, right in the midst of the rejection we face on a human plane, is very, very vital for us to draw near to God with a sense of desperation. I'll repeat that again. If consider the case of a person growing in an understanding of the Lord, but also the world accepting him, something is desperately wrong. Jesus said, if the world speaks well of you, watch out. It could be that there's something wrong. If your life makes sense to people in the world, it could be that something is desperately wrong with you. Because the Bible says that which is highly esteemed among men could be a total abomination in the sight of the Lord. Luke chapter 6, isn't it? So if our understanding of the Lord would mean that we are being rejected on a human plane by the Christendom that is powerless. It has a form of godliness that is powerless. And that understanding of the Lord, right in the midst of human refusal to fellowship with us or to be connected with us because of our faith, is absolutely necessary, and it is part of our strength that will enable us to be drawn near to him on a daily basis with a sense of desperation and absolute necessity and urgency. Think about this. The Lord found this man and received him. Isn't it? The Lord found him and received him. Now, if the Lord has found us and received us, what does it matter if others reject? This is the true strength of a believer in Christ. I'll repeat that again. Christendom will never ever accept a true living faith that a believer has. They have their PhDs, as someone said, pile high and deep. Form of godliness. Head bigger than their body. Because of all this, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then on the other hand, you have a blind man who is healed, and he has a powerful testimony that could draw people to the Lord. If we have made decisions, and you know, it's kind of amazing how God builds his body, right? How God forms his body. The Holy Spirit today is in the business of forming the body of Christ. The Lord has found us, he has healed us, he has received us, he has saved us, we become worshippers. And therefore it really doesn't matter who rejects us because of our belonging to the Lord. And that led Jesus Christ to speak another amazing discourse about the shepherd and the sheep. Now, if you read this account in John chapter 10, it goes, remember this chapter divisions are not inspired. It was like one big in paragraphs. So it is one single paragraph. And Jesus goes on to speak about the shepherd and the sheep. And Jesus warns, there was a lot of comfort here, but Jesus warns the sheep about something. The strangeness of other voices is a warning to the sheep. Think about this. So what do we have? We have been delivered from those things that have been condemned by God, and we have been brought, called out, called into the sheepfold, where the church, understanding of the church, must be in the context of not an organized setup of religion, but it must be the living organism of the body of Christ. And you and I, we are called to be members in particular of that fellowship, of that body, because there is organic life. Now, we as sheep may not fully comprehend his voice. We may not fully comprehend his voice. But there's one thing. There is no mistaking his voice. As Pastor Guru beautifully said, because we have been made recipients and we have tasted of the word of his grace that is for us. We are still growing in knowledge, we are still growing in wisdom, but we cannot mistake his voice because we've tasted of something which is from heaven. This is the voice of God. You know, it is the voice of truth, it is the voice of love, true love, it is a voice of tenderness, it is a voice of compassion, it is a voice of strength, it is the voice of authority, and there is nothing like it. And this voice, very interestingly, often corrects us. This voice, which is the truth, will correct our thinking. It will run contrary to our carnal desires. This voice will call us to pick up our cross. This voice will call us into services, areas of services that we dread to go because we've never gone there before. And this voice could also sometimes call us to suffering that is unjust in nature. Think about this. And that is why Apostle Paul said, what did Apostle Paul say? Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, nor of me, his prisoner. He was actually telling Timothy, Timothy, don't be ashamed of your pastor. Because your pastor right now is in the jail, in a dark dungeon, and his toes are getting nibbled by rats. But don't be ashamed, because we are called to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel because of the three groups of people that we will encounter because of our living faith. You know, the voice is the voice of truth. It is love-inspired and it is cross-centered. This being so, our wisdom consists in refusing to follow any stranger's voice. And this was the portion we read in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 to 9, isn't it? The world system has evil intentions, but very pleasant suggestions for you and I. We could discern that as what? We will be able to discern that as stranger's voice. Then there are other people who have, which are very close to us because they know us. They could be part of a family, they could be part of our association and all those. They may have good intentions for us, but they will have false suggestions. Watch out for that. According to the Bible, may I say this, there could be people who could mean well for us, but their suggestions are false. And the reason is because they have not tasted what we have tasted. And this must be immediately discerned. Inasmuch as we love that person, this must be immediately discerned and defined as a stranger's voice. You know why? Because what is suggested to us is contrary to our convictions. I'll repeat that again. Though intentions are good, but false suggestions must be immediately defined and discerned. And that is necessary if the sheep must be part of the sheepfold rather than getting devoured by the wolf. If the sheep needs to have health in the sheepfold and instead of being devoured by the wolf, even if the intentions, they mean well, but if their suggestions are false, it must be discerned as a stranger's voice because it is contrary to our convictions. You know, Satan sends projections from the air. It comes somehow. Calling bell, someone presses a calling bell. And the angel of light is there in some form. We receive what they have to suggest, what they have to say. We dwell on it. We confess it. And then you know what happens? These thoughts that we have entertained that were contrary to the stranger's voice come upon us through the natural law of reaping and sowing. We sowed something into our hearts, and as a result of it, and this is how Satan ends his supernatural attack. Satan ends his supernatural attack upon us by making us victims to the natural law of reaping because of what we have sowed without taking into account the shepherd's voice. And then he's free, he goes. And then things come upon us and then we are forever, you know how we play chess, we are trying to fix things. And then when things crack up, we fix one, we go to something else and things crack up here. And then we have someone to blame. And what is that? I'm telling you, ever since you went to that church, see a problem? This is what happens. So if God has saved us by the word in John chapter 9, in John chapter 10, as a shepherd, he keeps us by that word. If we are brought into the sheepfold Because Jesus found us and received us and faced a kind of a rejection from those three groups of people, then it is God's prerogative through the communication of His voice. That is why the sheep is called to, though we may not understand the full scope of what God is communicating to us, we are nevertheless called to discern if it is the shepherd's voice or the stranger's voice. And we constantly grow in it. And now that we are brought into the sheepfold, God has a plan for us to keep us healthy in the sheepfold, being nurtured and prepared for the master's use. And the way He calls us to be this way is so that we would guard against going back. We would guard against being drawn. We cannot lose our salvation, but in terms of being healthy and operational in God's perfect will for our life, we are called to discern the stranger's voice so that we would not be drawn back to where we came from. You know something? Thank God for the refusal we face and the rejection we face on a human plane, so that we would recognize our desperate need for God, number one, and for one another. Thank God for the world system hurling abuses in John chapter 15. Thank God for the hatred that the world has against the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? So that we, as God's people who are blind, gone, right, brought into the sheepfold, would recognize that it is Him, and it's because of Him and the body into which that we have been baptized by the Lord Jesus Christ that we can actually stay healthy and make an impact in this wicked, evil world. If we are saved by the word, what does God do? The shepherd's voice, that same word, wants to keep us so that we would not be drawn back. Sometimes intentions are evil and we can discern it. But sometimes, in some cases, intentions are very good, but suggestions are wrong. Given to those suggestions, you will find yourself losing your edge because we did not discern and define that as stranger's voice. So God says, stay away from the stranger's voice, stay connected to the voice of truth, to the voice of faith, to the voice of authority, and be nurtured in the sheepfold as a sheep that is following the shepherd, so that the world that is hostile to the shepherd and to God's people will have a witness of who you are in the Lord. This man was part of that sheepfold, and that is why the story continues on till in John chapter 10. We are all saved from different backgrounds. Each one has a story, don't we? We all have a story, in whatever way. And there are churches like this. Thank God for churches like this. And I'm really proud of, and I know a couple of, and they are friends of ours, who really do not compromise on their convictions. They preach the finished work and they teach the grace of God. They even have a burden for souls. And thank God for churches like this. But you know something? We all have a story of what God has delivered us from. And now God is committed to keeping us and nurturing us and protecting us in that sheepfold. And the responsibility is on our part to discern the stranger's voice so that we would not be drawn back into those very same things that God has delivered us from. This is what will account for the health and the passion and the life and the fervency that we'll have for the Lord and for one another, in terms of having a fervent love for one another. So, because we are desperately needing Him, and we also need one another as members, in particular in the body of Christ. Amen. This is true Christianity and this is true faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for what You have delivered us from. We were like those blind beggars, and the world had a tag on us: wicked, evil, useless, foolish, according to 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29. But You found us, You received us, and You saved us, made true worshippers. You delivered us from the inquiries and the opinions, control, the stigmas of the world. You delivered us from our sins. You delivered us from the hypocrisy that exists in organized religions. You even delivered us from sentimentality in human relationships and brought us into the sheepfold to have a real life with You. And we pray, Father, that your voice would keep us. Your voice would feed us. Your voice would nurture us. Your voice would make us really, as we said last Sunday, really desperate for you and for the things of God. And your voice would really cause us to have this spiritual connection with God's people who are the same way. And sometimes, God, we have to dread the fear. We have to entertain that fear if we turn our back on these things. Could it be possible, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, as a dog returns to its vomit, could it be possible that we could go right back because we have our weaknesses, we have our sin natures. And it can be chaotic, but thank you that you have called us into the sheepfold never to go back from where you have delivered us from because of our living faith. And we are called to worship you, we are called to follow you, and we are called to manifest you. And we just pray, Lord, you would bless these thoughts to our hearts and really inspire us and know that we are your called people. You've delivered us from the organized Christendom form of religion and shallowness, that form of godliness that lacks the power of it. And you've brought us into a real living faith with our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with one another, members in the body of Christ. Thank you for this calling and thank you for this amazing grace that is bestowed upon us. And we want to discern it and abide in it and continue in it and not be ashamed of it because of a price we might need to pay because of it. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're in this room and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, this is the time. Just open up your heart to say, God, I was blind. I've come to know the gospel. I believe that Jesus Christ loved me. He died for my sins. He shed his blood for me. I believe you love me with an everlasting love. Please come into my heart and save me. We don't want ourselves or our family to be sold to the devil, according to Acts chapter 16 verse 31, because the word of God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your household shall be saved. It goes. It just doesn't stay with you, whether positive or negative. It goes to your descendants. And Father, we pray, we ask you, God, for people in our families who are not saved, we ask you that you would bring them to the sheepfold, that you would deliver them from the ignorance of who true God is, and you would bring them and you would deliver them from religion and bring them into a living relationship with you and save them, Father, we pray. We thank you, we worship you, we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay. Let's stand for one closing song.